This is a blockbuster, Steven Spielberg spectacular. Movie battle begins now.
Hello, welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to decide which movie is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong.
What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I'm your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 10, Jaws versus Jurassic Park. This is a special Steven Spielberg spectacular episode. That is the reason why we chose both of these films for the battle. I think it speaks for itself. First, let's get to some facts and tidbits. Jaws, directed by Steven Spielberg, screenplay by Peter Benchley and Carl Gottlieb. This was based on the novel Jaws by Peter Benchley. Jaws stars Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, Lorraine Gary, Murray Hamilton. Music is by John Williams. Jaws was released June 20th, 1975, with a budget of $9 million and a box office of $472 million. Jurassic Park was directed by Steven Spielberg, screenplay by Michael Crichton and David Koepp, based on the novel Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton. Jurassic Park stars Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, Richard Attenborough, Bob Peck, Martin Ferrero, B.D. Wong, Samuel L. Jackson, Wayne Knight, Joseph Mazzello, and Ariana Richards. Jurassic Park was released June 11, 1993, with a budget of $63 million and grossed over $1.033 billion at the box office. Jaws had a Rotten Tomatoes score of 98%, Jurassic Park 91%. Jaws was the first major motion picture to be shot on the ocean. Mechanical sharks often malfunction, which led to Spielberg's decision to mostly suggest the shark's presence. And this has often been compared to Alfred Hitchcock's style of filmmaking. At the time, Jaws was the highest grossing film ever until Star Wars was released in 1977. Both of these films helped establish the summer blockbuster model for Hollywood. The film rights were purchased in 1973 before the novel's publication for $175,000. Jurassic Park, there were four studios that bid on the rights before the novel was published. Universal Studios and Spielberg acquired them for $1.5 million. For Jaws, John Sturges was actually first considered as director, based on his work for The Old Man and the Sea. The job was first offered to Dick Richards, but he irritated the producers by constantly referring to the shark as a whale. Spielberg was signed on and was only 26 at the time. He had just directed his first theatrical film, The Sugar Land Express. Spielberg has said that the movie was very similar to his 1971 television film, Duel. He was reluctant at first because he did not want to be typecast as the truck and shark director. Filming was done at Martha's Vineyard and began in May 1974. They hoped to complete by the end of June in fear of a possible Screen Actors Guild strike. Jurassic Park was filmed in California and Hawaii between August and November of 1992. Spielberg was able to supervise post-production in Poland in 1993 while he filmed Schindler's List. The dinosaurs for Jurassic Park were created by ILM using CGI, and they actually created DTS to showcase the film's sound, which Jurassic Park would win three Academy Awards, Best Sound Editing, Best Sound Mixing, and Best Visual Effects. Jurassic Park was also the highest grossing film at the time it was released. Jaws has spawned three sequels: Jaws 2 in 1978, Jaws 3D in 1983, and Jaws the Revenge in 1987. Jurassic Park had four sequels, The Lost World in 1997, Jurassic Park 3 in 2001, Jurassic World in 2015, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom in 2018. There is a fifth sequel, Jurassic World Dominion, scheduled for a 2022 release. During the filming of Jaws, a platform was used to tow the two side view sharks, and this was lowered into the ocean floor and required 14 operators to control all of the moving parts. There were lots of problems during production, and film went way over budget. They were scheduled for 55 days. It took 159 days. Some disgruntled crew members nicknamed the movie Flaws. Spielberg has said that for their 12-hour daily scheduled shoots, only an average of 4 hours were spent actually filming. During the production of the movie, Shaw was fleeing to Canada anytime he could due to some tax problems he had and began binge drinking. He also developed a grudge against Richard Dreyfuss. Though many have said that the delays in production during the filming allowed the script to be refined, and the shark not working as they wanted it to also allowed the film to become more of the Alfred Hitchcock suspense thriller that it is. Spielberg was not present for the final shot of the film for fear that the crew would throw him in the ocean. And this is actually a tradition that happens on all his films. He's never there for the final shot. For Jurassic Park, Spielberg learned of the novel in October of 1989 while he was discussing a screenplay with Crichton that would eventually become the show ER. He had just completed Hook, and he wanted to film Schindler's List. The studio gave him the green light on the condition that he film Jurassic Park first. He said he wanted to make a good sequel to Jaws on land, and cites Godzilla, King of the Monsters from 1956 as a huge inspiration. Paleontologist Jack Horner supervised the design of the dinosaurs. William Hurt was initially offered the role of Alan Grant, and Harrison Ford was as well. This one's good. Jim Carrey auditioned for the role of Ian Malcolm that would later go to Jeff Goldblum. Laura Dern was said to be the first choice for Ellie Sattler, but the role was also offered to Robin Wright, who turned it down. Spielberg watched the movie Basic Instinct and actually waited for the credits to roll to get the name Wayne Knight, who is most famously known as Newman on Seinfeld. The role of Lex Murphy, Christina Ricci, actually auditioned for that as well. And Joseph Mazzello, he screen tested for Hook, but was deemed too young, but Spielberg promised they would work together on a future film. Also for Jurassic Park, on September 11th, 1992, while shooting in Hawaii, Hurricane Iniki hit and caused a loss of a day of shooting, but several of the storm scenes in the film are actual footage of the hurricane. The dig scenes were shot at Red Rock Canyon in Montana. This is my favorite. The ripples in the glass of water when the T-Rex walks were inspired by bass vibrations while Spielberg was listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire in his car. No exact date can be confirmed, but it was possibly the 21st day of September when he heard that. The film wrapped 12 days ahead of schedule, and a rough cut was edited in just a few days, which allowed Spielberg to go ahead and film Schindler's List. The film had a $65 million marketing campaign and had deals with 100 companies to market over 1,000 products. The tagline, an adventure, 65 million years in the making. In 2010, Entertainment Weekly poll called Jurassic Park the greatest summer movie of the previous 20 years. In 1995, the NBA expansion franchise in Toronto adapted the nickname Raptors based on the huge popularity of the film. So there you have it. We'll be right back with our first guest on Movie Battle. Stick around.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is Travis Richardson. Travis is from Goldsboro, North Carolina. He went to East Carolina University. He currently resides in Durham, North Carolina, with his wife, Dara, and children, Zach and Zoe. Travis works for Cisco. Travis, welcome to Movie Battle.
Thank you for having me.
Travis, what would your parents say you do for a living?
They would probably just say I work in IT. I don't think they have a real solid grip on what I do, but they know I work for Cisco, so they know it's technical.
There you go.
And that's about the extent of it.
That's what's up. Who plays you in a movie about your life?
I would probably say Omar Epps.
Nice.
I get people say I look like that dude, and plus I think of myself as a kind of like a used to be an athlete, and mm-hmm. like all of his early movies he was an athlete.
He has played like every sport.
Yeah.
Track, baseball, football, basketball.
Yeah, he did them all.
All of them. Yes. I'm a big Omar Epps fan. Long time fan. Juice, that's my jam. That's my movie right there. Juice and Love and Basketball.
Classics.
Yeah. Program, yeah, I'm a big fan. That's a good choice.
Appreciate it.
What is your go-to movie snack?
I'm a simple man. Popcorn with extra butter. Movie butter, all the butters.
That's what's up right there. You can't go wrong with that. I like it old school too.
Right.
Travis, you are a Jaws super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
I guess sentimental. Like Jaws is like the first movie I ever went to the movie theater to see. Now, I was a little child, but I know it's the first movie I ever went to go see in the movie theater. It scared me then. And pretty much to this day, I'm still, wary about going in the ocean water. But it's a great movie. It's like the first big summer blockbuster movie. It kind of changed things for movies from that point forward. I like Roy Schneider. It's like a monster movie. It's a shark. I mean, it's a monster shark. I mean, so it's great. I mean, like every other, you look at all of the Sharknados and everything else, Deep Blue Sea, The Meg, all of those are spawned from Jaws.
Yeah. He started it all, definitely. I like how, definitely the first big summer blockbuster, it totally changed everything.
Yep.
I mean, even before Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah, before Star Wars, right.
That's crazy. Did you learn anything from Jaws?
Other than like there's sharks, there's monsters in the ocean. I mean, that was my main takeaway.
Yeah.
the Amityville Police Department and whoever, those guys weren't really trying to help those people. But I mean, from educational wise, no. But like life lessons, yeah. I'm like I said, me and ocean water. I need to be I need to be able to see everything that's around me in the water.
Well, that's a very important lesson to learn. That's better than anything you'll get in any science class, I think.
I think so, too.
as maybe not marine biology level, but, definitely a big lesson there.
Yeah, it's a life lesson.
Was there anything you didn't understand about Jaws? Or anything you could change?
I don't think I would change anything about it. I mean, I'm not saying that it's, a flawless movie, but for what it was at that time, the effects were great. I mean, they had good jump scares. It was, the shark, the mechanical shark looked real enough to scare everybody. The little doom doom. Doo-doo, that's like one of the most classic things ever in cinema, and people still do that to this day. Even just let trouble's coming.
Right.
It was a great movie. I don't think I would change anything. I think the first one was, you know, what I would call a great cinema movie, like something to go to a movie theater movie. Like that was, that probably is where I get my love for big picture movies, like going into the theater, sitting there, the sound, the look of it. That is it, the blockbuster movie. That is the definition of it.
Oh yeah, I'm the exact same way. All right. Well, Travis, you get one quote from Jaws. What is your favorite quote?
I mean, if I had to go with one, it's got to be we're going to need a bigger boat. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
that's the one. That's the one that everybody knows, and that definitely, I think, sums up the movie, because they were not prepared.
No, they were not.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, Travis, and best of luck in the movie battle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is Jennifer Larrison. Jennifer is from Chicago, Illinois. She went to Ball State University, where she played soccer. She started out studying music and vocal performance, but changed to child and adolescent development in psychology. She has been married for 13 and a half years and lives in Lewisburg, North Carolina. Currently, she works for Commissions Leadership Academy. Jennifer, welcome to Movie Battle.
Hey.
Jennifer, how would your parents describe what you do for a living?
I think I wrote it on here because I wasn't sure if you were going to ask me this, but I think they would say that I have five jobs crammed into just one human being doing all five of them.
That's pretty impressive. Who plays you in a movie about your life?
Anna Kendrick, for sure.
Okay. I can see that. That's a very good fit. All right, this next question is pretty controversial. What is your go-to movie snack?
We've also talked about this, and it seems to be very controversial, but my first choice would be candy corn, because it's super yummy.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah? All right. Candy corn. How long have... Is this a lifelong love of candy corn?
Yes, it is. And it's interesting because my dad loves candy corn and my husband likes it, but only with peanuts, which I find totally revolting.
Yeah, that's an interesting combination. So like growing up, like the day after Halloween when everybody was trading candy, did you just like clean up?
Yeah, because nobody wanted their little packets of candy corn. Plus, it goes on sale the day after Halloween, so then I just like stock up for the long haul till it comes out again.
That's the dream. All right, Jennifer, you are a Jurassic Park super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
This is gonna sound crazy, but to me, there's a lot of really great, like, dry humor just like stuck in place, like comedic relief almost, where like it's a really beautiful moment and you have people like Ian Malcolm who just come in with this really funny remark in a moment where you're like, and it just kind of breaks it up. I think that's why I started liking it. And then, I mean, my family's been watching it for years and my son watches it and we all like the same funny parts.
That's awesome. How old were you the first time you saw Jurassic Park?
This is probably gonna be embarrassing, but probably like 7 or 8 years old. It probably after it came out. I was like 8 years old when it came out.
See, I showed it to our kids, and it might have been a couple of years ago, so they're 6 and 4 now, so they were even younger then. And like, so we watched this one. I know this one like, you know, by heart, so I knew all the spots to the changes. And then we started watching the Lost World with them, which I probably hadn't watched in 10 years before we watched it with them, and I wasn't as skilled, you know, fast forwarding and pausing and stuff, and it was, probably wasn't the best choice.
But yeah, great movie. Definitely, you know, that's awesome that your family loves it so much. That's very good. Did you learn anything from Jurassic Park?
I think I've learned things from it over the years, like when Dr. Grant talks about how his theory is that raptors are descended from birds or related to birds. And then later, probably like 15 or so years later, a paleontologist did discover a raptor that had evidence of feathers, and so they think that that might actually be true. And so I think, like, oh, I learned that on Jurassic Park, so then I was interested in learning over the years, like little facts that popped up, or like in my son's education talking about dinosaurs. And I'm like, ooh, I remember them talking about that in Jurassic Park. Or,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Was there anything you didn't understand about Jurassic Park?
I mean, not any of the science. I think sometimes you wonder, like, why people do the things that they do, or like why they get sucked in the way that they get sucked in, and you're like, that was probably not a wise choice. Like, you saw that coming.
Yeah. would you change anything about Jurassic Park?
No, probably not. I'm pretty good with it. I think it only covers like probably a small portion of the novel really in detail, and then they've sort of like created parts of the movie that help cram a lot more of the novel into smaller parts, but I mean, I like it the way that it is. Yeah. And it opened it up for sequels, and I actually like The Lost World better, like the second one.
Yeah.
Like when they bring the dinosaur back to San Diego and it's kind of like a Godzilla meets dinosaur sort of feel. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Yeah, I've enjoyed all of them. It's a great franchise. All right, Jennifer, great movie. You get one favorite quote. Just one. What's your favorite quote?
I mean, you might have to cut. I mean, my favorite one is when she puts the gloves on up to her armpits. And she sticks her hands in the Triceratops poop, and then Ian Malcolm walks up and he goes, "That is one big pile of shit."
Yeah, that's a good one right there. All right, well, thank you, Jennifer, and best of luck in the movie battle.
Thanks.
Party people, it's the moment you've been waiting for. Movie battle is here. First up, representing Jurassic Park, straight out of Chicago, Jennifer Larrison. Jennifer, talk to me.
I think Jurassic Park is just a classic film. I love it. There's action, there's humor, there's a little bit of gross, there's a little bit of, I don't know, it's just great. And I think my son watches it, my family's watched it. I've probably seen it, I don't even know how many times. I've got the whole thing memorized. And I think it's really cool also, just, it was made in the 90s, and so you have a mixture of, obviously, animatronics, like a 12,000 pound T-Rex, but you also have, like, Steven Spielberg started working in CG to get some of the other dinosaurs that they didn't have animatronics for, like the herd of dinosaurs running through the field. And I just think it's really cool how that stuff started to come about after that movie. And I think it's really cool how the author of the book worked with Steven Spielberg on finding a good cast and making sure that Michael Crichton's viewpoint on science and dinosaurs and that sort of thing was represented. Then Steven Spielberg's view on it was represented. It was just a really great film to watch. And of course, I love the humor as well. So.
Those are very excellent points. Travis?
Well, Jaws. Jaws to me is just the epitome of the summer blockbuster movie. It is, you know, the reason why I myself like these big budget, you know, huge movies that splash across the screen. Like, you have the sound. I mean, like, you know, as a kid, Jaws is like almost like a monster movie, but without you know real monsters. But it's sharks. I mean, this is something you can see. You can go to an aquarium and see, or if you're unfortunate, or I don't know how you want to call it, if you're in the ocean, they're there. I mean, it's something that, I mean, you as a movie, it is what all other, you know, it is the first. So all other movies are just really kind of, especially monster creature movies, are just trying to copy Jaws. So, I mean, as much as I like some of these other movies, you know, they're all just, you know, Jaws' sons.
Sunned them. Okay. All right. Well, that very excellent points there. So obviously we have two Spielberg movies here, and kind of Travis, I think you mentioned this on the Facebook poll, how this kind of, you know, you can kind of tell this from generation to generation. Usually, no, there's like a strict cutoff line, but you're a couple years older than me. And I remember Jaws. I remember, like, just as a little kid, like, even before we had a VCR or anything, there was always so many movies that we had seen. And, you know, Jaws was definitely one of them. I think I was in high school when Jurassic Park came out. Jennifer, like you were saying with the special effects and everything there, obviously, you know, technology advances over time, but still, it was so crazy, so amazing just seeing this, especially like you said, running in the field and everything. How would y'all describe that as far as, do you think that makes sense as far as, you know, a generational thing?
If you don't mind, Jennifer, I'll jump in real quick. I definitely feel like it is, because, you know, if you were born late 80s, you know, mid 80s or something like that, and you start, you know, the first movies that, you know, you really pay attention to are these, you know, these blockbusters that came out like in the 90s. Well, like the special effects are a lot better, but I liken Jaws to something like Star Wars. I mean, like, yeah, looking back at it now, like, you know, I can see wires, but and when I was a kid, this was like the most fantastical thing I've ever seen. Like, there was nothing made like this. And so it was real enough for me to be scared of sharks for the rest of my life. As much as I like Jurassic Park, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to run into a velociraptor out in the field anywhere. But sharks are real. They're out there, people. They bite people every summer. and nobody, you know, they don't pay attention to this warning sign. So, you know, as far as the special effects and things like that go, yeah, I mean, clearly the newer stuff is going to be better. But, I mean, for its time, Jaws was just incredible for its time.
Well said.
I was actually thinking about Star Wars when you were talking about, like, the generation that Jaws came out. And I actually didn't see that till I was older. I saw Jurassic Park first. I think my parents thought that we would be scared of Jaws. But, yeah, I think that's true about the being born in the mid-80s, because the first movies that we did see had more special effects than prior to that. I think any Steven Spielberg movie that you're going to watch is going to be epic, like on a humongous scale. Like, he's just a brilliant visionary and then does extraordinary things on screen, and then has whoever he casts in his films, they do extraordinary things with their art, their acting. So I think the two movies have those two things in common. But I think it's cool that Steven Spielberg gave a shout out to Jaws in Jurassic Park, because if you, like, watch really closely when Dennis is arguing with Hammond about his finances and stuff right before he, like, shuts the whole park down, you can see Jaws is playing in the background on the screen, which I think is so funny. And I didn't catch it the first couple times I watched it, and then I was looking and I was like, huh. And I was like, oh my gosh, he just paid tribute to his own film inside his film.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. And I've seen Jurassic Park literally 100 times, like, no joke, at least 100 times, because I'm a Spielberg fan. And the way that you pointed that out, he has put a lot, him and Lucas like to put little Easter eggs to their movies inside of their movies. So Those things I usually have seen or I've caught, or maybe I saw some, you know, Reddit posts or YouTube posts or somewhere like, oh, well, you know, there's this scene there. And then I have to go back and look at it because I'm one of those type of people. I always have to go back and look at it. So now I'm going to have to look for the jaw scene. And when he's talking to Nedry, right before he shuts everything down, because I know that movie kind of back and forwards too, but I just don't think I've ever seen that. Now I got to go look for it.
Yeah, that is a terrific homage.
But I mean, it is a monster movie, kind of, and it is kind of the same thing. I mean, you know, it's got the, you know, the little kids, the family, you know, everything seems fine. And Jeff Goldblum says, like in the second movie, the second Jurassic Park movie, I think he was like, that's, you know, it's ooh and ah, and then the screaming starts, you know, so. It's kind of like that seems all fine and dandy until the shark or the animal start attacking it. So I do think it is, you know, I don't want to say it's derivative, but I mean, again, Jaws was the first, so it kind of, you know, everything else after that is, you know, almost rehashing, you know, a similar story. So you know, I think that's probably maybe one of the reasons he put the little nod to Jaws in there, because hey, like, this was my first big summer blockbuster, and then Jurassic Park I think set some records too when it came out. So that was the man is a genius.
He is. When he went after the film, like the rights to the film, before Michael Crichton even put the novel out, like he bought the rights to make the movie and started making the movie from just manuscripts. Before Michael Crichton even published his book, he was like, I'm making this movie before we even... And he was making a movie that he eventually turned into a TV show later when he caught wind of Jurassic Park, and he was like, I'm just gonna set this aside real quick and I wanna make Jurassic Park first. So it was like, I think that Steven Spielberg just jumps on the opportunities to make these big blockbuster monster movies because he knows that we're all gonna like suck them in.
Yeah, and I mean, you also get the franchise part of it too, so you can ride that wave for a little while. I mean, like, I don't know how many Jaws there were, I mean, but you know, they got to be, I think maybe up to like five or so. I think there might be more than that, but I think about five. And I like, right now we're on what, like, the getting ready to be the sixth Jurassic Park movie. So I mean, that spanned like two decades, those the six well, when did Jurassic Park come out? Like
93?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we're talking about like two decades with those movies. I mean, and Jaws probably, the last one probably came out in the 80s, but, you know, still, they had a good run. They made several of those movies. I mean, and once they started making 3D movies, they threw a Jaws 3D in there and everything. So, you know, that was a big thing in the 80s.
Let me ask you this: could they make a new Jaws with like the, you know, today's technology? I mean, people would go see that, wouldn't, like, if like Spielberg Jaws 6, Jaws 5, Jaws, you know, 2020.
I think it would have if everybody else didn't make shark movies, like the Meg and like the 13 Sharknados and, you know, 47 meters below and all this. So there's like a lot of people make shark movies. And so it's you know, but I mean, it's nothing like that first one. And it was just one shark, and it was just a regular shark. It wasn't like some super prehistoric shark, or they weren't flying in tornadoes, and
or like, or, you know, where the doctor injected a shark to make it smarter, and then it got smarter, and they were all surprised that it got smarter. What's that, like Deep Blue Sea or whatever it's called?
Oh yeah, yeah, Deep Blue Sea. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know there was like three of those movies. I was like, why would they have made the second one, let alone the third one? So yeah, yeah. So I mean, that's another one. You know what I'm saying? Deep Blue Sea. I mean, like, that's all kind of, now those are all very Jaws derivative. Like they're just like, okay, well, what we're gonna do is, people are scared of sharks. You know, we put some people in the ocean and, you know, let them get attacked by sharks. I mean, it's not the same as it, like the way Roy Schneider and Dreyfuss and those guys played their roles, and they're trying to save their community, right? It's not like people stranded at sea, like Deep Blue Sea, like they're in a, you know, in a facility, you know, out in the ocean, like they're stranded out in the ocean. And the Meg, like that starts out where they're in an underwater facility out in the ocean. Like these dudes are trying to save their little town, this little town, and all they have is their 4th of July celebration, you know, their summer, which, you know, I think it's more relatable because, you know, coming from, you know, North Carolina, I mean, obviously we don't have a huge amount of shark attacks, but people get bit, you know, off the coast a lot. And, you know, if you stay in one of these little oceanfront towns, if you stay in like Atlantic Beach, all you have is the beach. Right, like, you know, and then the summertime, if your people aren't coming right. to the beach, you know, like, you're in trouble. Like, the town doesn't have anything else to really offer. So, yeah, you know, so this dude was trying to save his little town, and the mayor was against him, and, you know, they were like, oh, let him go out there and be shark food. That's going to be fine. You know, he was just trying to send everybody back out into the water, and that's not the way to go. So. I would love to see somebody try to remake Jaws, I think, but I mean, it'd take a special person to pull it off because I mean, you can't really redo Spielberg, and it's hard to kind of capture that same kind of feeling. You know what I mean? Like, this only certain kind of directors can really kind of capture that feeling that he gets from the movies. Like, all of his movies kind of have like that, just something about it to where it kind of, the personal relatability to some of the characters surrounded by the overall bigness of the situation.
I think it's also how he casts him too that makes him super relatable, because like when he was doing auditions for Tim's sister Lex, and he was auditioning girls for the part, he didn't actually have them come in and read lines. He had them come in and show that they could be afraid. Because that's what we're going to relate to in a film that's about some sort of monster, right? We're going to relate to the fear. And so if someone can do a really good job of showing fear and making you feel that at the same time, then that automatically makes the movie, the characters in the movie, so relatable. So I think the two movies have that in common, because in both movies you have these great actors who are phenomenal at just being afraid. But I think also Steven Spielberg does a great job of, when he has animatronics in his films, he makes them look so real and sound so real that you almost can't help but be afraid, which is amazing too, because then you can, I mean, like I said, you relate to how people feel. So
yeah, I definitely agree. I think that that's something that you have to be able to emote in the movies, especially when you're using animatronics or something like that. I think even in Jurassic Park, some of those things may have been kind of green screened, where they kind of just put those like dinosaurs in later. So you have to really be able to kind of interact with whoever the person is in the suit or whatever, you know, that's standing there. So you have to kind of show the emotion. But with Jaws, at least they had the mechanical shark for most of those scenes, you know, where the people are interacting with the shark. The people that are splashing around in the water in the big scenes, when like everybody's trying to get back to the beach, that's a little bit different. Definitely his casting choices. I love the way I used to do photography, so I'm a big fan of the way like pictures are, like movies are framed and how the shots look. So I love that about the movies. You know, where you get, you know, like the sense of, for like the one shot where they kind of, when they zoom in, like they go from the, like the kind of wide shot into the tight shot when they zoom in on Roy in Jaws, when like he realizes like the shark attack is happening. things like that. Those are little things that I really love about the movies, and that's something that, like, that scene kind of always kind of stood out to me too. Like, just the way that kind of that camera kind of trick where he kind of it goes from this wide angle to where it's kind of pulling into him, but he's kind of moving in as well and kind of filling the screen, and you could see, as you were saying, like, you can kind of see like the terror or realization in his eyes, like, uh-oh, like this is bad. And so that's I just think that was just that part kind of stood out to me.
I think in Jurassic Park they do use animatronics. I think when you have a close-up shot of a part of a dinosaur, they use a lot of animatronics, and then for the whole shot, like if when you saw the whole T-Rex, not the whole thing was animatronic, because that would be insane. But I love that he made it so that there were parts of dinosaur showing, because I think that made it more real for the audience too. And obviously the noises that the dinosaurs made also made it more real. Like, I mean, everybody knows that dinosaurs were loud, right? And when they walked, that things would vibrate, or just things like that, I think made it more real for the audience too. And even the music, I think, in Jurassic Park, because there's that song that everybody loves where, like, at the beginning when they first come to the park and they see the Brachiosaurus and they play that song, and then in the movie there's that song, and it just creates nostalgia. So I think the score of Jurassic Park, I think, really draws the audience in too.
That's one thing of many, but Spielberg and the scores that they use in these films are just off the chain remarkable. I mean, obviously everybody knows Jaws and Jurassic Park, both classics.
And Schindler's List too.
Go E.T.
Yeah, that score is unreal.
Schindler's List, yes.
I think the guy is amazing. Yeah. Like I said, I'll be 46 in like 2 months, and I've watched countless Spielberg movies like over and over again, and there's just, you know, the guy, I mean, he's just kind of amazing. Even something like, you know, people don't ever really talk about it, but like the, well, as far as this big, because this isn't one of those sci-fi big budget movies in this same vein, but like The Color Purple, I mean, just like all the different things that this guy has done, it's just, he's just amazing, and they all look amazing, right? There's something to be said for being able to fill up the movie theater screen with beautiful images, right? Sometimes, you know, people go to the movies and, you know, like, they really want to be, you know, if you want to be a murder mystery or something like that, and, you know, the scenery doesn't have to be, you know, such a focal point, right? Because you're interested in the plot and the plan and how this, that, and other happened. But he's able to kind of weave the beautiful imagery with the, you know, overarching plot of the movie or details of, you know, of the story, and it all be good. Like, some people can make good looking movies and the plot is bad. Michael Bay. And then, you know, you can have other people who, you know, have these incredibly smart movies, but they don't look great, you know. But he's able to do both, and that's something that I really appreciate.
I think he's an incredible visionary, because in order to create a movie where the art of acting and the scoring and the imagery, like you're talking about, like framing it out, I think, like, you have to be an incredible visionary to be able to plan how you're going to meld all those things together, and then plan how you're going to cast that so that your vision comes to fruition. Like, it takes, I mean, that's an incredible amount of artistic ability to be able to put all of those components together and create an amazing piece of art.
I definitely agree.
Well, Travis, Jennifer, this has been just a very amazing educational discussion. This is one of the best episodes we've done here. I always say I enjoy having
I don't know,
people smarter than me.
I don't know if I'm smarter than you, but
better for everybody.
I'll take it.
All right, so I mean this one's too close for me to call. This we probably have to let the internet decide, you know, who wins this battle. But just for movie battle sake, let's make our final shot. Get our last word in. Jennifer?
I think Jurassic Park blows Jaws out of the water because everybody is curious about dinosaurs because they don't exist in our time frame now. Because we learn about them in school, we read about them, we see cartoons about them, et cetera, et cetera. But we haven't ever experienced that. And so when you have a movie that makes them seem so real, it's just an amazing piece of art because it brings in something we're all so curious about because we've never seen it and makes it real for the audience.
Well said.
Well,
Travis?
I think Jaws is the better movie. As much of a fan of Jurassic Park, because I am truly a fan of the movie and the franchise, Jaws is a better movie. I think that it sets the bar for the summer blockbuster movie. It is possibly the one movie that kind of touches most of like everybody's primal fear, or you know, like that fight or flight response in people, because you know sharks are in the water. And I think that anytime anybody hears dun-dun, they automatically become nervous because they know something big and bad is coming. Jaws elicits a more primal or guttural response from people. As like I said, as great as Jurassic Park is, and it has stood the test of time, but Jaws has been around for almost 40 years now, and it is the movie that all other movies since that time have tried to emulate. They wanted to have Jaws, the success that Jaws had, to be able to spawn franchises like Jaws did and to entertain and scare people at the same time.
Well said. Well, real quick to touch on something from earlier in the discussion. Why are there so many shark movies?
I agree.
Is it just Jaws? Kind of that's all you need. Jaws.
Like Sharknado, it's not a
just
good film.
Jaws.
Any of them.
Yeah. Just Jaws. Like there's a, you know, Rocky is an awesome movie, and there's a lot of good, you know, there's a lot of good boxing movies. You know, Raging Bull is great. You know, The Fighter. There's, you know, you need more boxing movies, but you don't need any more shark movies.
I agree.
Jaws.
With you there.
Sorry.
I agree.
I had to get that off my chest.
I agree.
All right. Well, on that note, Jennifer, Travis, I truly appreciate y'all participating in the movie battle.
Cool.
And I look forward to having both of y'all on here again real soon.
Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe and review. If you would like to support or leave a voice message, please go to our homepage. You can follow Movie Battle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for coming correct.